Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Good evening.
God bless you, Prophet Berrien.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Prophet Alicia. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight to the Global Prophetic Network. Thank you for being with us once again, and thank you for your faithfulness, for being connected to us. Well, welcome once again, Global Prophetic Network, helping you maximize your potential through the Word of God. Once again, I want to thank you. Thank you for your patience tonight, and tonight we're going to have a blessed time as we are about to step into another series, another set of information. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Glory to God. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I'm just reading some of your emails over here. I just want to make sure you got your notes. Amen, amen, and glory to God. Well, we are about to embark on a new set of series, and I don't know how far we're going to go with this here, but as God keeps speaking, we'll keep speaking as well. As we will be discussing dreams, we'll be discussing visions, we'll be discussing Prophet Alicia and those that is with us, Prophet Albert. We'll be discussing what is a fantasy, what is a nightmare, what is daydreaming, what is a dream within a dream. And we'll be discussing the ego. We're going to be discussing colors in regards to dreams, if I dream about a particular color. We will also be discussing symbols and signs in dreams. Because we are a people of symbols. We are a people of signs. God created us in that format. Symbols and signs. We read. We know in pictures. Children... in pictures, through images. We have the ability to retain images quicker than words. We are a pictured people. Our life is a picture. Our destiny is a picture. God sees the total picture. God doesn't see our shortcomings. He sees the total picture. He sees the outcome of a thing. He sees the end and then works his way back to the beginning. And we'll be discussing many, many good topics. Why dreams? Why don't we remember our dreams? And so I don't know how far God's going to take this, but I know that he's going to take us someplace as we are growing and evolving. And I'll be suggesting certain books that many of you may want to go and get. Perhaps we'll discuss a little bit about Sigmund Freud in the 1800s and his theory of dreams, and we'll discuss the psychological aspect of dreams. We'll also discuss Carl Jung, J-U-N-G. We'll discuss his theory of dreams. He himself was a disciple, but he fell off and separated from Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud believed so much of dreams was he had seven bases on which he based dreams from. He talked about the mother, the father, the animus, and Oedipus, and he discussed different aspects of dreams. But for him, dreams was more so from a erotic nature, self, the id, a little bit more different. So we're gonna go deeper into this here because I believe in knowledge that. But I also believe in wisdom and that we're going to grow in this year. And the purpose of this series and however God takes it and leads us is to help you and all of us to have a better understanding of dreams. For dreams are like letters that come in your mailbox. And that mailbox is dark. When you close it and put that mail inside there, it's a dark place. And so the mailbox is symbolic of your subconscious, the deeper part of yourself, the hidden part, the dark part. It's that evening part of you. It's that dark part. that you don't yet have a handle on. And so dreams are like letters. And if you refuse to, or better yet, if you don't have a proper understanding or a proper interpretation of your dream, it is like having a letter but never opening it up. It's like someone writing your letter, but you never open it up, so you don't know the contents of the letter on the inside. It's like a sealed envelope, and you do not open it up. And so we're going to cover these different barriers, these different compartments, these different dimensions of mind, the soul, and we're going to talk a little bit about different things, and because dreams play an important part in our lives. Dreams can reveal our destiny, our purpose. They can also warn us. And so we will be discussing colors. We'll be discussing different animals. We'll have some of you other ones come on, and I believe Prophet Zerman has a great book, and so we can look at it from a spiritual standpoint, but also from a psychological standpoint, from an emotional standpoint as well, too. And so we'll be going the deeper into this as we are moving forward in this teaching, and we'll deal with the language of dreams, we'll deal with the symbolical meaning of dreams, and night visions, and daytime dreaming, and fantasies, and what is the difference of a vision? Night visions. Many, many different dimensions, and we're going to get into the whole aspect of even when Joseph, when Mary gave birth, she was pregnant rather, an angel appeared to Joseph and says, "Fear not. But that which she is carrying is righteous, is holy, is God ordained." And so dreams can come to reassure us and give us comfort. And so we'll discuss many, many different topics. I remember some years ago someone told me that they had a dream about a crossroad. And so it's important that we understand the interpretation of a dream. And it's important that we write them down, number one, and find out what we were feeling. Was our heartbeat racing? So we're going to get into a lot in this aspect, in this topic. And who knows, I can see it eventually becoming a book with the knowledge that we'll be sharing. We'll deal with it from a spiritual as well as a psychological standpoint. And the person had a dream that they were standing, or they were at a crossroad. Now, a crossroad can mean a person has got to make choice of, or one that is not making a decision, or is at a point of making decisions. Well, I asked them, well, were you going straight? Do you know which way you're going to go? Were you in a car, or were you walking? Were you driving the car with someone else driving you? See, these things are very important, because if someone else was driving you, that means that someone else was leading you, and someone else could have been making decisions for you. You know, and there was a day in medieval days when they would burn witches at crossroads. You have people in certain cultures or certain beliefs that when their life is failing, they always go at a particular crossroad where there's two, where it's like a Y in the road. I can go left or I can, you know, go right. They make a pact with the devil that they would sell their soul to the devil. They're at a crossroad. And so they literally in their mind sell their soul to the devil for success or prosperity or love, whatever it may be. And then so began to talk to them and says, well, you know, it's too vague just to say I'm at a crossroad. What was happening in your mind? What were you feeling about? Do you not also know that what you eat will also determine how you dream when you lay your head down at night? Because food can determine what you're going to dream about. And so we're going to get into the ego. Because sometimes the ego can project itself and cause us to dream things. Dreams help us relieve inner pressures in our life. It's important. It's like having a kettle and the top is just boiling off. Dreams help us reveal or uncover hidden things on the inside of us. Different things that we see, different things we see. We dream because the unconscious wants to tell us something when we dream. And then at times God wants to speak to us as well, too. See, you must understand today that we live in the two worlds. We live in the waking world with its laws of science, logic, and social behavior. And then we also have the elusive world. I'm going to pull up my dictionary here tonight because I want to give you meanings of some of the stuff that we're talking about here. When I'm finished with you, we're going to be, you're going to have so, your library is going to grow so full. And it's important that many of you, if you have your computer, go dictionary for your computer. I have people calling me too often. Well, Prophet, what did this word mean? I said, I wrote it in your that I can help you with your vocabulary. Well, what does that word mean? Go get a dictionary. And I use big words because it's going to help you and force you to take action. Your prophecy would not, in most cases, manifest by themselves. You have to work your prophecy. You have to work your dreams. You have to work your life because your life is a business. And as Rev Run once told me, he says, Prophet, I'm hard on myself, so life will be easy on me. But if I'm easy on myself, life will be hard on me. And so you must work your word. When a woman gets pregnant, there's work that she must do. You got to watch how she bends. You got to watch what she pick up. You got to watch what she eat. She can't wear the same high heel shoes as she used to wear. She doesn't want her feet to get swelled up. And at times, she's got to put her feet up to help with the circulation in her body, but also take away some of the swelling in her feet. And there's certain things. There's prenatal care. There's certain things that she must do. So you have to work it. Because if you don't work it, it won't work. So, as we're discussing this study of dreams, we'll be learning much as a company and as a team and as a in the visible world, we also live in the the day is the conscious, the light is the conscious, the dark is the unconscious, it's the deeper part of self, the evening is the deeper part of yourself. And we dream because it helps us. Dreaming allows the spirit to begin to soar. Have you ever dreamed in your sleep that you were flying, that you were all over the place and you were doing different things? You were like a super being. Dreaming reminds you of your former state, of what you once were. It shows you your true potential. It reveals the spirit part of man. We want to go deeper. We want to talk. There's so much that's going to come forth out of this teaching here, everyone that is with us tonight. And so dreaming is good for you because it helps you. It relieves pressure. All day long, we're seeing different things. We're feeling different things, the things that we're not aware of. Things in people, we have emotions, things that we just let slip to the side. But you know what? It doesn't disappear. It stays within us. Because you must understand that words flow out, but they remain in. That your emotions may flow out of you, but they also stay in you. So they're still connected to you. What do you do with that anger if you refuse to express it? What do you do with that emotion if you refuse to express it? So your dreams help you relieve some of the inner pressure that you go through. And so we live in two worlds, the waking world, and as I said, the laws of science and logic and social behavior. And then we also have the elusive world of dreaming, shrouded in the mystery behind the veil of sleep. And yet the Bible began to talk about this veil. And yet we are always living and walking between two worlds. We live in these worlds that we walk between. And we're going to talk about and teach you how to control your dreams in a dream. When this whole series is over, you're going to be able to master your dreams and change your dream while in your dream. And we want to teach you how to walk into a level of mastery that even within a dream, you can change it to how you wanted it to be. And we're getting prepared for this because I remember when my father made his transition. And he was going on to the other side, and he had visited me. And my mother says, your father said that you were with him here. Now, he had not made his transition yet, meaning he had not passed on to the other side yet. And he was saying, thank you, son. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Now, I'm here in Atlanta, and my father's 3.5 hours away. But my mother said he was saying hello to me. But thank you, son. I'll see you later. He was talking to me because he was seeing a part of me. He was seeing another part of me. And yet he knew at a deeper level that he was going to be making this transition because he was talking to his mother. You'll always find that when a person is ready to leave this realm and go on to the other side, they're in and out of consciousness. They're living in two worlds. They're talking to those that are already gone on. Why? Because those that are gone on are preparing them, and they're welcoming them, and they're getting them ready to take that step to the other side in this time of a transition. And he said, she said, I was speaking to him, and he had such peace, and he had calmed himself down. And a few weeks before he had made his transition, probably like a month, I had had a dream, and my father loved fishing. He had moved from New York back to Valdosta, Georgia, and he loved fishing. And I had a dream that he was fishing, and when I went there, because I was in a dream and I saw him face down in the lake, and I said, oh my God, my father's dead. And I said, oh no, it can't be this way. It can't go like this. And I woke up from the dream. And I said to myself at that moment, I must go back into that dream because I don't like the way that dream ended. When this series is over, many of you will be telling me, Prophet, I did the same thing. I went back into my dream. I never experienced it before. I went back in my dream and I changed the dream on how I want it to be. Because you're the actor and the actress, you're the guide, you're the director, and you are the actor. You can direct the scenes in your dream. And I went back into that dream, and when I went back into the dream, he was fishing, but he didn't die that way. He was still fishing. And in that dream, the second part of this dream, it was all one, he was in the hospital, and there was pneumonia, and there was fluid in his lungs, and he passed. So I woke up at that moment at about 3:30 in the morning and called my mother or my sister in Georgia, and I said, get Dad to the doctor. There's something going on in his body. Get Dad to the doctor. Well, they decided to wait like 7 days later, you know, maybe figuring, you know, my prophet was out on, I'm just a carpenter's son. And, well, 6 weeks later, he made his transition. All of his organs started failing because he had a defibrillator to try to get his heart started. If it slowed down, if it went too fast or if it was going too slow, it would send a spark to try to calm it down or to get it activated again. Well, they were saying that his heart had gotten so weak that it couldn't supply the blood to different organs in his body. Well, on the autopsy report, they said the reason that he died was because he had pneumonia that was not noticed and that there was too many fluid in his lungs. So now I'm thinking, okay, well, he drowned maybe in water. But then he passed again. It has to do with his lungs. So I'm figuring, okay, well, maybe this thing is just that his heart and the blood in his body is not flowing like it needs to flow. But afterwards, I began to see and understand what the Holy Ghost was speaking to me and what this dream was all about. That it wasn't the drowning in the water. It was that there was fluid in his lungs that was never recognized nor treated for. And I just thought it was quite interesting. You know, and it could have been that the water or him being face down with drowning in water was a symbol and a sign that there was some fluid in his lungs. Not so much of him drowning, but there was fluids in the lungs. And so I'm sharing that with you because many of you, you will have dreams. And I know that many of you are dreaming and you don't quite yet understand everything that you're dreaming. And teaching you and telling you what to do, how to write things down. What were you feeling? What did you see? What was your heart rate? What was happening? When it's all said and done. I know my wife was telling me I was dreaming, honey, that something was going on with our eldest son here in Georgia. But I just figured it was just maybe a feeling that I had. But she knew at a deeper level something was happening. And so we're going to get into this here and share more about these dreams here today. And I'm hoping that you have your notes by now, because it's important, and we're going to share a lot more about dreams, the nature of dreams and why we dream, and different things of that nature, because dreams consist of ideas. Dreams consist of emotions and experiences of our daily lives, intertwining into a single image. Jesus, I want to say that again. Dreams consist of ideas, emotions, and experiences of our daily lives, intertwining into a single image, Prophet Albert, a single image. Dreams are like a rope, intertwined with strands and fibers. And if you take apart the rope, then the fibers connect you back to you. Hallelujah. It's all about you and your dreams. And yet we're constantly creating images in our minds, see? And all through your day, you're creating images. And then you begin to wonder, why am I dreaming that? And then sometimes we have what we call fleeting thoughts. But yet these fleeting thoughts visit us in our dreams. For our memory is a collection of images. And we're going to discuss on why we dream in symbols and metaphors. Why? Because we relate everything to what we have already experienced. And most of us experience the world around us through our eyes. Jesus. For we are constantly creating images in our minds. And we're going to share and just really go deeper into that. And it's going to bless you. Because it is important, Prophetess Alicia, that we look at the characters of our dreams. It's important that we look at the characters. Because in most cases, the characters are yourself. Jesus. Now, those that don't have the notes, just bear me. I'm going to get you the notes. And I want you to know that dreams are mirrors showing you precisely as you are. Now, you'll have prophetic visions, and God will speak to you in things of the future or things to yet come. And we're going to get into different symbols and different reasons with dreams or why we dream, because dreams reflect our current mental, emotional, and spiritual states. I want those in the chat room with me to type right now. Dreams reflect my current mental, emotional, and spiritual state. I'm all typing in the chat room right now. Dreams reflect my current mental, emotional, and spiritual states. I don't know if they're ready to read this book that I have up over here. I don't know if y'all ready for that. Y'all might say, well, his name ain't Paul, his name ain't John, it ain't David. Ain't John, you know. It ain't in the epistle, so you may not want to read what I read. So type it in the chat room with me. I'm going to say it again. Dreams reflect my current mental, my mind. They also reflect my emotional and my spiritual state. Now, people always asking questions, Prophetess Alicia, about sleepwalking and why is sleepwalking? Have you ever felt... Press my note in the... My notes. Have you ever felt open, and you couldn't move your body, you couldn't speak, and you wanted to speak, but nobody could hear you. And it's like you were frozen in your bed. That's a dream. But yet it seems as if you're so wide awake, it's a dream. And we want to discuss what that is all about and why this thing happens, too. And I believe also this happens, too. You want to awaken, but yet a part of you is in another dimension. A part of you is your spirit, man, your etheric body is someplace else doing some work or is traveling, and it needs for you, your body don't need to get up quite yet because a part of you hasn't joined back with you yet. See, that's why you have many members, and these many members travel and do different things. And we're going to get into these seven aspects, these seven bodies, these seven parts of you. We'll get into the etheric. We're going to get into the ghost body. We're going to get into the spirit body. We're going to get into all these different parts because each one affects the other. If one is stuck, it affects the other bodies as well, too. So if your emotional body is stuck, it will affect your mental body. And so we're going to get into those different bodies. What are nightmares? What are nightmares? And nightmares usually indicate unresolved problems. Hallelujah. And maybe you felt a threatening dream over several nights. And a threatening dream is only a sign letting you know that there's something wrong with your thinking. We're getting into a whole lot of stuff here. And you may want to know, can a dream lead to sleepwalking? Absolutely. A dream can lead to sleepwalking. Because sleepwalking is uncommon in children and can be the result of emotional disturbance, occasionally triggered by a nightmare. So a nightmare can cause you to get into sleepwalking because there's a wrestling going on. And so we're going to get into a lot of that. I don't know about y'all. But I'm excited. Prophetess Alicia?
Yes.
This is going to be something.
Amen.
This is going to be something. Prophet Albert, are you ready for this?
Amen.
And this is going to be something as we're moving into this teaching here. Prophetess Alicia, do you have anything to say?
Well, dreams are very powerful. And there are messages in your dreams, but many of them do derive from your fears. Subconsciously, sometimes we have certain fears that we don't want to face while we're awake. So sometimes they will come up as nightmares in your dreams. So now you're facing them in your sleep instead of in your sleep state instead of your awakened state.
And honey, maybe that's why Job said the thing that I have feared the most has come upon me.
Amen. Amen. That's right. And dreams are very powerful. So you have to watch what you do with your dreams too. But the notes, I know that the teaching is going to bring a lot of revelation and clarity to the people, Prophet.
Yes, they are, Prophetess. Yes, they are. And we're going to go deeper into this here. For this is just the beginning of what we're going to be getting into here. Okay, I got to send out the notes to Elder Carlos here as well, too. Latoya Pierce, I just sent you your notes. Prophet Albert, how important are dreams to us as believers and as a person?
Very important, Prophet Barron, because dreams give you direction and they give you insight into situations and problems that you may be dealing with on a daily basis or may even be dealing with on a continuous cycle in your life. And God will show you the answer within a dream, or He will show you which route or which decision that you need to make when you actually having a dream or yet even a vision, but you have to be still and calm yourself. And I guess that's why we have the dreams at night and yet even in the daytime when we are actually daydreaming, we're actually still or we are God is going to do a great work with people when it comes to dreams and when you ask me to get answers to problems and situations as you quiet yourself and begin to just give it all over to the deeper part of yourself, and the answer will surface out of the depths of you as well when the dream will be taking place. The dreams are very important.
Amen. Amen. And so I don't know if we're going to get into all of this tonight. We might just do the first two pages and continue it we'll try on Thursday if I don't have to be out. But we will teach as much as we can and continue it on another day, because this coming Friday, just a note, we will be back at the Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott this Friday at 7 p.m. So those that are listening, Prophetess Irma, Elder Carlos, will be back again at the Fairfield Inn and Suites this coming Friday. We were there last Friday. We'll be back again this coming Friday at 7 p.m. So as we are in this earthly body, we see that the body has earthly experiences. And it goes into a realm called sleep. And it has this background in its life known as the dream world, the background. I call it the dream body. And out of the place where dreams come, the dream body, the dream world. And everyone must fall into a state or into a place called sleep. Well, this is the place where the imagination can kick in and the dream world can start its point where it now begins to take over. It's also a part where God desires to teach us in our sleep, which means that there is and will be something that will go on the inside of you in your sleep that will give you an answer to a daytime situation. A night vision for a daytime problem. And God will cause your answers to come from the fountains of your deep so that you can begin to allow that which will come from sleep, and whatever it may be. And so it's important that we prepare ourselves to go to sleep. Very important. And how we got to prepare ourselves for that. I'm learning now to get more sleep because I don't sleep much. You know, I try when I have a lot of stuff on my mind. But, probably, I know you're not laughing over there at me. But we should prepare ourselves to go to sleep. Rather, because we should not fall asleep. If we fall asleep, it means that we're not in control. We should prepare ourselves to go to sleep. And this is why I keep a bottle of water or a glass of water beside my bed pretty much constantly. Why is that? Because the body is made mostly of water. And so when you go to sleep, you should take a full glass of water, as we tell you here. Before you drink the water, say to yourself, this is all that I have to do to find a solution to a problem that I believe that I'm trying to gain or to get. And so it's important. And during sleep, you will get information through a dream, or perhaps if you don't receive it during the dream state, when you wake up, perhaps someone will say something to you that will trigger some insight or some information that will bring you the answer that you're looking for. Amen? And so it's important, because the answer's already there. You just need something to stir it up. But the Bible says, stir up the gift that is in you. And that's the water, which is the Spirit. So everything that you need, you already know. But the Bible says that the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly, in Proverbs 20 and 27. So when you begin to drink the water, so now I'm helping you here now. And it's important that you do this every night, that you have those 8 ounces of water and drink 4. So when you drink the water, it's like pouring out a drink of offering. offering back into the earth. I want to say that again. When you drink the water, it's like pouring out a drink offering back to the earth, which is your body. And not only of it, just have and say, this is all I need to do to find the answer that I need the solution to. The water that you just prayed over or anointed or charged it, it now searches the inward part, and then the answer will come to you and bring it to surface. It may come to you in a dream. It may come to you in a person visiting you. It may come to you in some other different forms of answers. You'll look someplace. I don't know if y'all remember when I told y'all to go out and get the book titled The Dark Night of the Soul, The Cloud of the Unknowing. These books will also help you to go deeper down within yourself. Hallelujah. Okay. Prophet Albert, let's get into our notes up over here, because this is going to bless the people. Okay. You should have your notes already. Go ahead. Here you go, man of God.
Dreams and Visions, Part 1. In Genesis 20 and 3, it says, "But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?"
So we can begin to see here that Abimelech, a king, we see as you study that verse of scripture and go back a little further, you begin to see that Abram moved in fear and told the king that Sarai was not his wife, out of fear. And he told the king that Sarai was his sister. Now, I want to take that deeper, because that's deep. Because it was almost as if he was giving up his wife for prostitution. He said, "This is not my wife, this is my sister." And because he moved into fear, he was going to let another man sleep with his wife. But God saw his fear.
Yes.
And God began to speak to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man." God says, "You're a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." Turn to that scripture, Prophet Albert. "But Abimelech had not come near her and said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?" I didn't know that this was this man's wife. He didn't tell me that. He said, "This is his sister." And God began to speak to him in a dream. Because God sends warnings through dreams. Dreams make up at least 20%, if not a third, of our life. Why dreams and visions? Dreams will play an important part in your life. Webster defines a dream as a series, as we said earlier a little bit, as a series of thoughts, images, or emotions occurring during sleep. And so you must know the two. You must know that, am I dreaming from a thought that I had earlier? Because you could think about somebody and dream about them later on that night. You can have a feeling of fear and have a dream that is surrounded fear. You can eat certain foods and they can also produce dreams too. And that's why it's important that we don't eat before we go to sleep. So, Webster defines dreams as a series of thoughts, images, or emotions occurring during sleep. In sleep, we also have what we call REM sleep, which means rapid eye movement. There are different stages. We're going to get into this, different stages and the different levels of sleep. There's four different stages. And the last stage in your sleep when you go to bed. And that's the deeper part, which is called REM sleep, when the eyebrows or the eyelids are moving and shifting. Because now you are at a deeper state. And when you're at that deeper state, which is called REM, or rapid eye movement sleep, it means that now you're at a deeper state, you're dreaming at a deeper level, your heart rate lowers, your blood pressure, everything begins to lower because now you're at a more relaxed, deeper state, a deeper level of mind. And we're going to get, as we get into the sleep, we're going to get into alpha. We're going to get into beta. We're going to get into the different realms of sleep and how to gain and get information. This is what I like to do when we're going to do with the prophets and how to find things and how to acquire knowledge and things by going into alpha and beta and delta, these different levels of sleep. So, what's also the experience of waking life, having the characteristics of a dream, it also says a visionary creation of the imagination. Your emotions can also produce a dream out of you, too. If you're feeling that you are lacking in love, guess what? You're going to have a dream where you can be disappointed and you don't have love. Also, things from your past can continually produce dreams. Emotional dreams. Fear dreams. But it's also a state of a abstraction or release from reality. It also says a dream is an object seen in a dreamlike state. Wow. So, God sends warnings through dreams, and we must understand this. Dreams make up, as I said, 2%, if not a third, of your life. Read the prophet about in Job 33 and 15 and in the different versions.
Job 33:15-16. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he opened the ears of men and sealed their instruction.
I don't know what version you're reading from.
That's the King James Version.
Okay.
Now we have Job 33:15-16, the NIV Version. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings. That's the NIV Version. And now we have Job 33:15-16, the New Living Translation. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in bed. He whispers in their ear and terrifies them with his warning. Now here we have the Living Bible Translation. In dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they lie on their beds, he opens their ears in times like that and gives them wisdom and instruction.
Amen. Amen. And so we begin to see here that in a dream and in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and the slumbering of the bed. So now we can take this and go deeper into even a deeper realm there in a dream, in a vision of the night. The vision of the night is also that deeper part of you, in your mind. When deep sleep falleth upon him, in slumbering upon the bed. Now the bed, in a deeper levels of mysteries, the bed also symbolizes your heart. God said in his word that I shall enter into the bedchamber and become intimate with you. The bed can also symbolize your mind, the bed of your mind. And the bed also symbolizes a place of thoughts, ideas and thoughts. You sleep in the bed of your thoughts. Hallelujah. slumbering upon the bed. Then he opened the ears of men and sealeth their instructions. Instructions are sealed to you, even in your dreams. For Jacob got instructions in dreams. God began to speak to him. And he told him to get up now, take the woman, and run for your life. And you'll also have dreams where the angels will come to and give you information to speak to you. Your thoughts are your dreams, which weave your world into being and sustain it. For you are to the dream. So understand this. It's we, us, are lost in our dreams. Now Joseph could dream, and he had the ability to interpret dreams of others, regardless of their complexities. For certain dreams are simple and need no interpretation. But most of our dreams are symbolic, and few understand the language of symbolism. For Joseph understood symbols, understood signs. Joseph understood and interpreted the dream of the sheaves as well as his dream of the sun. For Joseph said, my father was the sun and my mother was the moon, and the 11 stars bowing before him. The 11 stars were his brothers. This is why Prophetess Irma was just assigned to be as because she is a covenant partner and a Levitical partner, she was assigned to be a part of the prophetic tribe of Joseph, the dreamer. She was assigned to be a part of that. So we begin to see that Joseph had the ability to understand and interpret the dreams. When his father heard the dream, he says, what is this dream, Joseph? Shall I and your mother and your brothers bow down to you? He didn't criticize him, but set these things in his heart. He didn't criticize Joseph. Hallelujah. Joseph, the dreamer. Now let's go over to page 2. Because dreams are very strongly influenced by our senses. It's very important to know precisely how your 5 senses function. We're going to get into that because each of your 5 senses can also produce dreams in you. Because the ego can project its own agenda in your unconscious. Its own agenda. Because the powers of the mind are incredibly vast. Your ego can project and alter your unconscious. Okay, read, man of God.
Night impartations. Dreams have meaning. Dreams come forth to give us instruction. Dreams come forth to give us information. Blinded by the natural state, you have missed opportunities. It takes the unconscious to begin to reveal things to us by the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Night impartation. Dreams have meanings. You must understand that. That every dream has an inner and a deeper meaning, and it's important that we understand that. Dreams come forth to give us instructions. Dreams come forth to give us information. Blinded by the natural state. Missed opportunities. So if you don't understand it at a deeper level, you'll miss opportunities. It takes the unconscious to begin to reveal things to us by the Spirit, the deeper part of us. See, when I remain in this body of blood and flesh, I must abide by its restrictions. See? And yet you go into the dream state so that you can begin to free yourself up.
Right.
You're free. So I must abide by its restrictions and limitations, yet remaining or remembering it as a dream. I can change it. If this world is reality, I cannot change it. But if I am its reality, I can change my world relative to myself. See, this world is a dream. All of this is an illusion. That you are not this flesh and blood. This is why we tell you here that you live in another state, that you live in another realm. You live in that invisible state. deal with the Father, and I'm in the Father, and I'm one with the Father, but yet this is all a dream. This is all a dream. And does the Garden of Eden still exist? Yes, it does, because it's all one world. It's all this eternal now, this one moment, this present moment. And I'm dreaming that I'm suffering. So if you're suffering, that you're dreaming that you're suffering, come out of that dream state. Because a rich man may have a dream that he's poor, that he's lost all of his money, that he's suffering, that he's sleeping out in the cold. And in that dream state, it is his reality. It is true to him. He's having all the feelings of lack. He's experiencing the feelings of need and want. He's experiencing all the outer things of the cold and of nature. But once he awakens from out of that dream, guess what? He's still a millionaire again. And for many of you tonight, I want you to come out of your dream and create a new dream, because this is not your reality. And that you must awaken from out of your dream, because you are not flesh and blood. You are spirit, and spirit is thicker than blood. And if you think that you are flesh and blood, then you will walk into a degree of restrictions and limitations. But it's only a dream. But you must know it as a dream. Hallelujah. And what begins to happen when God begins to awaken in you, you begin to move into another state. There's something that begins to happen in you. When God awakens in you, he is the same God who awoke within me. Jesus. There aren't two gods. There's only one God. Because you and I are really one. Prophetess Alicia, you and I are really one. Prophet Albert, Prophet Roderick, you and I are really one. We're not two. We're really one. Jesus says, I and my Father what? Are one. He didn't see himself separate from God. But when you begin to see yourself separate from God, guess what? You now move into the world of duality. You now have stepped into the world of flesh and blood. And now restrictions and limitations show up. Although there appears to be billions of us here, we're all one being. One God acting out this play to expand our creative power and our wisdom. It's like the ocean. Because if you took a drop of water from the ocean, you cannot say it's not the ocean. It's still the ocean. It's still the ocean. And once you pour it back into the ocean, it's back in the ocean. It never separated itself. Hallelujah. So now, our takeaway note. We are the dreamer and the dream at the same time. Prophet Alicia, you have something to say, baby?
Amen. It's just sometimes you have to be so watchful and know where your dream is deriving from.
Yes.
You know, is it what is causing this dream? See, you have to know the difference. If it's God trying to tell you something, or is it something within you that you are fearing, you know, that you're dreaming about. So you have to be watchful and be able to tell the difference. You know, not everybody's at that point or being able to tell the difference between the two.
Yes.
So they may dream something because they fear something and say, oh God, this is what's going on. When it may not be so, but this dream is deriving from your fear. So you have to be watchful. Where is the dream coming from? You know, if you've been fearing this, but haven't confronted the fear, it's going to show up in your dream and become a nightmare. Don't take that nightmare into your life as you awaken. You have to know what is from God and what is not.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank you, honey. Thank you so much. Thank you there. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move down a little bit more here now as we're moving forward into this year. Job 33:15 says, in the night God in man while man is asleep. Jacob, information was imparted in him. So dreams are a very important part, because dreams have different meanings. Someone might dream a warning. God may allow that person to have a dream that may be a warning. It may bring instruction. So dreams have a variety of different meanings. I believe that dreams are basically for instruction and for impartation. For instructions. And for impartation, where God is imparting something in you. Why are dreams important? Why are dreams significant? How do dreams work in the life of the believer? Well, let's look at Job 33:15-6. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon, slumbering upon the bed, then he opened the ears of men. Listen, he opened up the ears. He opened up your ears when you're asleep, because you're always hearing. There's never a point in your life where you're not hearing. That is the one sense that is always picking up information. You are always hearing. Even while you are in a sleep, you're going to the other side, even while you are asleep, you're still hearing. And so this is why the scripture says that he opened up the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. The Amplified says, one may hear God's voice in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men while slumbering upon the bed. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, okay, terrifying them with warning. Jesus. Dreams come forth to give us instruction and information to reveal that which is hidden. Sometimes we can be so blind to things in the natural and our conscious state. Come on now, because we don't want to hear in our conscious state because of the ego. It takes the unconscious to begin to reveal things to us by the Spirit. Why? Because you don't know how to be still and know. I had one brother some years ago up in New York. He lived in Queens. And this man could quote the Bible from Genesis 1 until the book of Revelation word for word. Word for word. He would just sit there and say, okay, go to the Bible, go to this scripture, this verse here, this is what it's saying up over here. And you would try to trick him and say, it says something, says, no, that's not what it says on that verse. Let me say it for you. But he had deep emotional and mental problems as well, too. And he would literally be walking around talking to himself. And we took him to a mental institution, and we said, well, what is happening with him? Because he knew truth. But he had stepped into a place, he had stepped into a realm where it was almost as if something had happened to him. Because, as we said earlier, we walk between two worlds. Something happened where there was a switching. See, this is why the Bible talks about the veil, removing this veil. The veil is the unseen part. The veil is the deeper part, that with the mysteries, things that are hidden from us. But the doctor says, well, what has happened to this brother is that when he is awake, his unconscious is awake. And when he is asleep, his conscious mind is awake. So what was beginning to happen was that his dreams were speaking while he was awake. And when he was asleep, his conscious part was speaking. There was a mix-up. There was a cross-up. Rarely slept. And he would just walk around and talk to himself. But he had tapped into a realm where he knew all things, and he had a wonderful, powerful prophetic word, but there was some mental challenges that he was having. Why? Because there was a barrier that was broken. And when his unconscious should have been resting, it was awake. Because the unconscious comes out when you are asleep. It now has the ability to soar, to roam, to go into another realm, to go into another place, to reveal things, for things to come forth. But it was the opposite for him. Oh, that's very dangerous. Very dangerous. And he was just losing his mind. Today he's still in a mental institute. Because he walks around and talks all day to himself. All day he just talks to himself. Why? Because there was something that was broken there. And he didn't know how to handle what he was walking into. He was getting into some things. So, dreams come forth to give us instructions and information to reveal that which is hidden. Sometimes we can be so blind to things in the natural, in our conscious state, it takes the unconscious to begin to reveal. during the show, we can break it down during the show. Because there's a lot that you got to break down in your dreams. So God is always trying to get man's attention. And he's going to get it one way you look at it.
Right.
Awake or asleep, he's going to get your attention. I get it from you. And Genesis, it says, and the evening and the morning was the first day. It was a complete cycle. Complete cycle. So even when man is asleep, God is getting his attention in one way or another. It may be through symbolism. You may dream of different things, different animals, different signs, or different things. Or you may see things in pictures. God uses all things in natural to show and to demonstrate to man that he is God. Even in the dream state while man is asleep, God is still witnessing and proclaiming his greatness to man. Because man should always pray. How can I pray when I'm asleep? Because your spirit is always praying. Man should always pray. Even in my sleep state, I still should be in control and praying when I choose to pray. So, even in the dream state, while man is asleep, God is still witnessing and proclaiming his greatness to man. It is forever before man's eyes, day and night. And God will also use dreams to minister deliverance to you as well, too. And also give you assurance. God spoke to Paul in a dream and gave him some assurance. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
Prophet?
Yes, prophetess.
You know, there's been studies on people that are deprived of REM sleep, which is the deep state that you dream. And many times, most of the people that were deprived for days and days, you know, they were not having, they didn't get any REM sleep, they would start to act irrationally. Some would do things that they would have never done. They just act very, like, not themselves at all. They just are very irrational, they will do things, they become kind of insane. Because of deprivation of the REM sleep, the dream state sleep. And they cannot function right. They just do things totally out of order. And that shows, as you're saying, how God ministers to us in the dreams. See, God is being kept out when they don't go into the REM sleep, which is the dream state sleep. Now God cannot minister to them in their dreams. They're being deprived of it. So the connection, if you look at it, and the deliverance, because as you said, God will also use dreams to minister deliverance to you. Now, when these people are deprived of the REM sleep, the dream state, they're not having that state of sleep. They don't allow them to go into that state of sleep in studies. They are not being ministered and delivered by God.
Yes, so, yes.
The deprivation is not only the sleep, REM sleep, but it's God. They're really being deprived of God's ministering to them and delivering them through the dreams, because that's a healthy way of delivering and ministering to the person. God, that's why God uses the dream to do that.
Yes.
But see, when people are deprived, they go into a totally different state of insanity. They just do things that are not them.
Well, I'm going to make sure I get some sleep tonight, prophetess.
Amen. And make sure you get into the REM sleep, which is your dream state.
All right. Now, the Bible declares in Genesis chapter 31 and 13, it says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. It's important that we also anoint our pillows, as I just put up that verse of scripture, because I was remembering it in that verse where God says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. So it's important that we anoint our pillows. It's important that we anoint the places that we sleep. It's important that even if we go check into a hotel, that we anoint the pillow, that we anoint that bed, that we we anoint that room where we sleep. Because where you sleep will determine what you dream. And who you sleep with determine what you dream. And I want to ask you today, do you anoint the place where you sleep? Because you must anoint the place where you sleep, and who you sleep with determines how you dream and what you dream. Because you must begin to understand that your dream temple, it's your dream temple. It's you, your dream temple, your place. And it's covenantal. Covenantal. Because Jacob laid his head at a place where he had made a covenant. But where you lay your head also determines the wealth that you come into. And the Bible says the wealth didn't come unto Jacob until he made a covenant on the place where he laid his head. Jesus. Jesus. Because you are the temple of your dreams. And do you not know that most people have close to 5 dreams a night? Which goes, so you have close to 35 to 42 dreams a week that you have in your temple. Did you know that, Prophet Albert? 35 letters. And so it's important that you anoint your pillow. Now the Bible says, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath. Meaning, don't take your wrath into your night visions. Because then you would have nightmares and night situations. Clean up your mind, because your pillow becomes an altar, a place where you're going to vow your vow. So when a husband and wife come together, if you have debt problems or some situation that you're dealing with, get into agreement with it in your mind, and then come together in mind, body, soul, and spirit. When you enter into intercourse, you are entering into a state of meditation. And we're not talking so much of a physical state, we're talking about from a spiritual and a mental state. We're going to get deeper and further into this here.
But Prophet,
yes, Prophetess.
It's very, very, very important that people listen to what you said, that who you lay with, whatever pillow you're laying on, that's going to determine what you come into and your wealth, because that's a moment of covenant.
Yes.
So that's why also in the Bible, when it says that if a man or woman goes and commits adultery against the other one, their mate, that they become as a crumb. You know, it's, you know, that's how much the level is lowered on the individual because of committing the adultery. So people have to watch that, because even if they would have come into wealth, that wealth right then is aborted due to that, the committing of the adultery at that time.
Yes.
So that's why people must watch what they do and what they dream about and what they are fascinated with, because that can determine your victory or your destruction, not realizing at times. But that's why you have to really watch. And when you said that, that's so important that people realize that the things, their actions and the things they do, how important it is to first evaluate what will be the result of my actions. At the, you know, just for a moment, what would the result be to what you've acted upon? That is so important, because that will determine your destiny. Will it be a destiny of righteousness and wealth or not? So many people abort their destinies and what wealth they're supposed to come into and blessings because of certain things they may commit. And God warns them about it in His Word, but people still do it. But then, that's what happens. So, when you said that, that's very powerful. They need to watch where they sleep or who they're with or who they're in relationship with, you know, and everything.
That's right. You know, honey, as you said that, I'm reminded because, you know, I have people ask me all kinds of questions. I'm reminded of the scripture where the scripture holds a man responsible for his dreaming, at least for the character of his dreaming. The Bible talks about it. Because the Bible also holds a man responsible for his dreaming or the character of his dreams. Well, let's begin to read it. Turn to your Bibles to Deuteronomy because we're talking about dreams today, and many people have this, male and female. The Bible talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 10 through 12. Because the scripture holds the man responsible, if not for dreaming, at least for the character of the dream. I begin to read in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 10 through 12. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness that chanced him by night, or chanced him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come within the camp. But it shall be when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun, he shall come into the camp again, and thou shalt have a place also with the camp, whether thou shalt go forth abroad. Now, I want to get that scripture and also read it in the New Living Translation. Let me just pull that up here, because I believe this is a powerful verse of scripture as we are getting into this topic, because God also watches your dreams. And God also looks at what you're dreaming about. And what you have in your dreams. I want to turn to that and pull it up in another verse of scripture here. Just bear with me as we're pulling this together, because I think this is very important. Okay, the Living Translation, as we pull that up here, that version. But I want to read it in another version here, because if you read it in the King James, you may not quite yet understand it, or it may not be fully understandable. But I want to talk about this here, because it's very important that we understand, because God even looks at our dreams, and he can also judge us according to our dreams. Because if you can dream in your dream that you're sleeping with another woman, that's still adult, that's still sin. And you're still held responsible for that. A man could be married and have a dream that he's sleeping with another woman. He's still held responsible for that. And in the sight of God, that is still adultery. So that's what's inside of you. It's coming out of you in your dream state. Okay, now let's read that version in the New Living Translation. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Any man who becomes ceremonially defiled because of a nocturnal emission must leave the camp and stay away all day. Toward the evening, he must bathe himself, and at sunset, he must return to the camp. Verse 12. You must have a designated area outside the camp where you can go to relieve yourself. Now, when it's talking about this here nocturnal emissions, it's talking about a man having a wet dream. That's what it's talking about. And God even looks at that and he views that. So God even judges you, or he can also judge the dreams that you have, because the impurity inside of you begins to come forth. Now this goes for male or female here. And this is what this verse of scripture is talking about here. So why would a man be unclean by an occurrence of the night? And it reads again, any man who becomes ceremonially defiled because of nocturnal emissions must leave the camp that way. This is talking about if a man has a wet dream. If he had a wet dream, he was considered unclean. You must say it was only a dream, but yet you have to be responsible for the character you just dreamed. The dream exposes the dreams that are in your temple. So you are responsible for that character because that happened in your temple. Oh, hallelujah. And this is why the scripture says, you have committed adultery. You may have not entered into her physically, but guess what? But your other body did. Your dream body did. The other body did the act while you were observing it in your physical body. You are responsible for the character. You are responsible for your dream body. And you must take control of your dreams. And you have to make this covenant with your pillow. Anoint your pillow. That's why you anoint your pillow, so you don't take on these kinds of dreams. Because that's your covenant. That's a covenantal place. See, your bed is going to be sacred. And you can't let just anybody sleep on your bed, neither sit on your bed. Everybody's not supposed to sit on your bed. Why? Because this is where your revelations comes. If people come into your bedroom and they sit on your bed, they have just sit on the floor. The bed is sacred. And that is a place where God enters and talks to you. And this is where God speaks to you. This is your altar. This is where your offerings take place, oh Lord. And see, hallelujah. Because the bedroom is really the place of the Holy of Holies. It is the place where all life begins, man and woman. So when I go into certain hotels and certain things, I have to do some mental work before I go there. Because I got to prepare that bed before I lay down in it. So I don't sleep in somebody else's dream body. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because dreams are spiritual. Dreams are means of direction, a special intercourse with God and man. I hope y'all are getting this today. Come on, type in the chat room. Dreams are spiritual. Type in the chat room. Type in that chat room. Dreams are spiritual. Oh, we're going to go someplace with this. Yeah, I can feel like we're starting up already. Prophet Albert. Come on, type in the chat room. Dreams are spiritual. Prophet Roger, are you getting something tonight?
Yes, sir.
All right. Jesus. Type in the chat room. Dreams are spiritual. Prophet Lisa, that was deep, wasn't it?
Amen.
Because you are the author and the actor of your dreams.
Yes.
And this you must understand. Well, I think we're going to end this here for tonight. And we're going to continue this because this is a whole lot of stuff here. Y'all got an earful tonight. I want y'all to go study your notes.
Yeah.
I want y'all to study your notes. When this is all said and done, I'm going to tell y'all to go out and get some books to read on this here. I want some of y'all to go out and get a book titled The Secret Language of Dreams. It's going to bless you. It's going to help you. The Secret Language of Dreams. That's just one of the books. And the author is David Fontana. That's F-O-N-T-A-N-A. I'm not going to type it in the chat room because I can't do both of them at this moment. The Secret Language of Dreams. Go to Amazon. And your second book that I want you to get is The Secret World of Your Dreams. That's just the title. Don't ask me for the author. Just go to Amazon and you'll find it there. But I believe it's by Julia and Derek Parker. The Secret World of Your Dreams by Julia and Derek Parker. And when we finish with this here, we're going to have a great time. Because I think we should do a teleconference with this here topic. And then some of you can assist me as we're teaching it. I don't plan to do all this work by myself here now. We should be studying together. That's right. The Secret World of Your Dreams. And the other one, The Secret Language of Your Dreams. Go to Amazon. here tonight. Or so know that. Study your notes. Anoint your pillows tonight. That's why I'm going to be sending some of y'all some anointed oil. And drink your water. Drink 4 ounces and drink the other 4 in the morning. We'll probably be trying to rebroadcast this here on Thursday night if you're just coming in, because we're going to be closing out on our Thursday nights. We're going to be changing our days of the service of the shows, which is going to be Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays only. We'll be doing 4 days soon. We'll be changing our days soon. Hopefully in the next few weeks, 2 weeks, will be Sundays at 6 p.m., Wednesdays at 7:30, and Fridays at 7:30. No longer will we be doing 4 days, so on this coming Thursday night, you can go back and listen to the rebroadcast of what we're talking about tonight. And we'll complete these here this coming Friday. We'll be meeting at the hotel once again, so I won't be live. But Prophetess Alicia will be with you live, and she will complete pages 3 and 4. She'll probably go over quickly 1 and 2. And she will complete pages 3 and 4 with someone else. We'll find someone else will assist her over the phone Friday night, because we're doing a special service here in Atlanta, as I'm preparing to make it back to New York on next Monday. I want to thank you all for being with us tonight. I know some of you have gotten a letter from me about your oil. Email me. I want to send you some anointed, blessed, holy oil. Thank you for your seeds. Thank you for releasing and blessing this ministry. I want to thank Sister Wilson. Thank you for releasing your seed at $51 for your anointed oil, and I got to give you your special instructions. Thank you. I see Emmanuel Barron with us. Irma Salmon, thank you, woman of God, for your faithfulness. Thank you for releasing your seat tonight at $100. Latoya Pierce, God bless you. Thank you. Latoya Salmon, Elder Carlos, God bless you. Prophetess Karen York, God bless you, woman of God. Just double-click on Prophet Barron and give me your email address, and I want to get these notes out to you tonight so that you'll have the notes. I missed you Sunday, Elder Carlos. I missed you on Sunday. We missed you on Sunday in the telecast with us. Thank you for being with us tonight. I want some of you to do that $88 seed. I want to get you all the teaching notes from the Say Yes to Unlimited Wealth and get you the CDs as well, too. It's going to be about 9 CDs. And bless you too, Elder Carlos. We love you here. We love you dearly, and I see great things for you. So, tonight, I'm going to trust God. See, I want to get notes to you. Because the Say Yes to Unlimited Wealth is being prepared into a whole book. But I want to get you all of those CDs, especially in this season, in this time of the economy right now. But we will go deeper about dreams, because the dream state is the prophetic or the prophet's realm. Prophets are always in a dream state. Prophets are always in another place, in an unseen realm. Prophets prophesy from an unseen realm. And they walk outside of time. Prophets live in different dimensions. They live in the past, present, and in the future.
Amen. Prophet?
Yes, my love.
We also want to thank Sister Solange for doing a $50 seed tonight, and Sister Paula for doing a $12 seed as her tithe.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Sister
Amen.
Pauline.
And I want to thank Sister Wilson for doing her seed too. Camilla Wilson for doing her seed at $51. Responding to the email that I sent out, I believe, on yesterday. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your continued faithfulness. And we'll continue this here and go deeper into this here. We got to take this in steps, and I don't want to overload you, because there's so much that we got to get into in this, in this series here. As we're talking about dreams because dreams are symbols, and we got to know how to interpret them, and we got to know how to work with them, and you got to know how to write them down. You got to see what were you going through, what were you experiencing when you got that dream, what was happening. You know. What do you say about that, Prophet Albert?
Well, I believe that we should write the dreams down as we get them, and also if we have a tape recorder near us by the bed, we can have it recorded, recording what we actually felt, how we actually felt when we were going through the dream, how, if we can remember, we can go back to the dream and change it if it's not the way we want it to be as far as the outcome of it. So it's, of course, in taking information that God is giving you or imparting into you while you state. So it's so important for you to have the paper and pencil on hand or a tape recorder, and to make sure you just be able to listen and to be at peace when you're actually receiving the dream from God, the letter that is sealed, and you have to open it as God imparts it to you.
That's right. And that's so important. Because some of the steps when you are writing your dreams, number one, you should write down your dream just as it is. Even if it's short, you should write it down. The first step that what we should do, we should write down the major contents of the dream so that you do not lose the overall picture. Write down the major parts, the major things that affected you or that was major to you in the dream. That's the first thing that you should do, again, so that you don't lose the overall picture. Next, you should make a quick commentary of it. You know, how did you feel when you woke up? Were you anxious? Were you overjoyed? Were you elated? Were you miserable? Were you fearful? Were you worried, startled, indifferent? He said there's a lot to it. You got to look at your emotions, what was happening, what was I thinking about, what was on my mind before I went to bed. All of these things are crucial to interpreting your dreams. I noticed you got to write it down, and then you got to write down the commentary of it. You know, how did you feel? Were you anxious? And this can be just a short description, perhaps only on one line. But you got to make it provide a very important clue for you. Was your heart beating fast? Were you anxious? Were you making a fist? Remember, we told you earlier, you may dream that you're at a crossroad. Were you walking? Was somebody with you in the car? And if you were in a car, were you driving or were they driving? Because crossroads have to do with decisions. We're going to get into a lot of this. We got to get into animals. We got to get into colors, feelings. And so what now begins to happen, were you holding your hand tightly over your face or whatever it may be? Did you pick up an object such as your watch, you know, whatever? How did you find yourself sleeping? On your left, on your right, or on your back, or on your stomach? All these things are important here. Write down your feelings as soon as you wake up. And if you try to recreate the feelings later, they can quickly take on a whole new color. No, you got to write it down at that moment. If you dream of mountains, you may wake up with an underlining fear that mountains are obstacles. See, what is it to you? Because the dreams are nothing more than a mirror of you. How are you feeling? You know, the degree of intensity of the dream, indicated, you know, by your feelings when you wake up, and by your immediate interpretation, gives you a clue about the dream's importance. All of this stuff is important as we're going to keep going forward into this teaching here. And we want to make it intense. I want to have information, and you know, a lot of information for you, so that you'll know how to go in and find out what was happening. Because you need to know what was happening and what was God saying. Because as I said earlier, your ego can invade or manipulate or put information into your unconscious mind and your dreaming. And so you got to make sure that, is this my conscious mind poisoning? Yes. My unconscious part of me? Or is it God? Is this an emotion? Am I dreaming from something that I heard, something that I'm holding on to, from a fear, from anger? Am I dreaming from a state of jealousy? And we're going to get into the whole seven bodies of man and show you how each one can affect the other. So if you're stuck in your life, then guess what? You're going to have dreams from an emotional standpoint, or you could have a dream from something from your past, and that dream from your past or that emotion from your past can visit your present in your dreams. And you got to watch out for dream manipulations. So we're going to go deep into this here, hanging there with us. But when it's all said and done, you will say, you know what, that's Prophet Barron. Thank you so much. Well, I'm about to sign off tonight. Again, I want to thank you all for releasing your seeds. We want to bless you here with knowledge and information. You know this is what we do. As God speaks for us, we give it back to you. And we need to start talking about, why does God use dreams to minister deliverance to us? And he does it all through the scriptures. We got to talk about open visions, daydreams, daytime dreams, open visions, nightmares, sleepwalk. We got a lot we got to get into here. We got to discuss what fantasies are. You know, because you can have a dream within a dream. Why is that? Hallelujah. So listen, tonight I want those who didn't get a chance to release their seeds to a seed of $88. I want to get you all those teachings from Say Yes to Unlimited Wealth. That's no longer on the website, so now I want to get you all those teachings to help you in this season so that you can produce wealth and prosperity. I see everyone here as multi-millionaires. Well, God bless you, Prophet Felicia. It is in your hands tonight. We'll be continuing this teaching, and I got to get you the next. We're going to be teaching four parts of this here, maybe five parts. Then we're going to get into a whole other aspect of it. Well, God bless you. I'm Prophet Barron. I want to thank you on behalf of myself and Prophet Albert, as well as Brother Roderick, who is here with us tonight. Thank you for being a part of the Global Prophetic Network. Thank you for being so faithful and committed to us here. We love you, and we appreciate you. Prophet Felicia, it is in your hands. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being with us again. Release the seed that God speaks to you. Prophet Barron said the $88 seed. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Do as the prophet asks, for that is the seed that God told him to ask for. How much have you learned? How much do you appreciate it? How much value do you put to what you learn on this network through Prophet Barron? Well, bless the man of God. Honor God through your seed to this ministry. Well, we bless you and we thank you all so much for being with us. Again, join us on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. and this shall be rebroadcasted. And on Friday at 7:30 p.m. I will be teaching this pages 3 and 4 as a continuation. And those in the Georgia, Atlanta area, I urge you to go to the meeting on Friday night live with Prophet Barron, for the anointing shall fall, revelation shall come forth, clarity and blessings and healings shall fall upon you. Be there. Be there at the Inn and Suites by Marriott. Be there at the Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott on the corner of Walker Avenue and Bobby Brown Boulevard. Be there at 7 p.m. on Friday night live. Well, we bless you and thank you again. Please release your seed, for that is how we are able to continue on this program, through your seed, through your obedience unto God. And we greatly appreciate you and love you. And we pray for you all the time. Well, again, God bless you. Thank you for being with us. Que Dios lo bendiga. Bonsoir and shalom all over the world. Shalom.
Wisdom to master relationships in this season. For the Lord says that favor comes to you through connections and through interaction with people.